Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me as ever is Oriol Puigdemont. And on this week's show, we are going to be discussing the events of the America's Grand Prix. It was an enthralling race, Yuri, with Enea Bastianini won a fantastic fight back from Marc Marquez. Many, many questions raised from this Grand Prix, but we'll start with the winner and with Ducati, because our first repeat winner is a rider on a year-old bike, Bastianini, and he beat the factory boys.
Yeah, I think this brings us, well, not us, but Ducati, a new problem. It is a good problem to solve, but a problem anyway. So, because they need to set sooner than later the lineup for next season. And of course, Bastianini and Jorge Martin are still in the fight, but a difficult decision to be made in the next, I would say, next couple of races, because I think all the other teams will rush up the decisions. And the market, I thought that was going to be more quiet, but due to different factors, I think maybe we're going to have some movements.
Yeah, well, I was talking about this actually with a friend of mine on the way into the track on Sunday, that I didn't think there would be many big moves. But, you know, I spoke to Jack Miller earlier in the weekend, and he said that he's been left in the dark by Ducati over his future. We all thought before the weekend, really, Jorge Martin has got to be the favourite for his seat. Bastianini has complicated that somewhat. It's, you know, Ducati has a lot of problems right now, so it's nice for them to have a nice problem, but it's a problem nonetheless, because what do you do? You've got two such fantastic riders, but, you know, and I think you said this perfectly before we came onto the podcast, is that has Martin really been able to show his true potential yet on this 2022 bike?
Well, has anybody been able to show their real potential on this 2022 bike? I don't think so. So that's another key factor to have in consideration, because at the moment we know who is the most performing Ducati rider, but we don't know what would happen if Pecco would be riding the 2021 bike, the bike which he won four races last year, or also Martin. So there's not that easy to take that decision, because, for example, I know that Martin has been following what Ducati was telling him to do. At some point, he can say, yeah, listen, but I would also prefer last year's bike, and I didn't have the chance. So it is a tricky decision, but at the same time, Bastianini has done full merits to get this chance. So that's why I think that somebody will be disappointed.
Yes, the 2021 Ducati is clearly the better of the Marc's bikes, but the way Bastianini managed that race at Cota was superb. You know, he managed the tires better. He made the moves when he needed to. There was a point in the race where Jack Miller was about 8 tenths away from Jorge Martin, and Bastianini saw he needed to go. He did that. He got past Martin, caught up to Miller, and then put the pass on. I spoke to Bastianini's crew chief after the race, and he said that the Bastianini's way of riding, he understands the limit of the rear tire really, really well, and therefore doesn't spin it, so he looks after it more. And this is why we see such a late attack from him in races. Yes, the bike's better, but he's taking full profit of it.
But the only thing is that, okay, what the others would do with this 2021 bike? Maybe we wouldn't have a so clear leader. So, it's difficult to predict. And don't forget that it brings a, let's say, political problem or political controversy inside Ducati. Because Ducati has been working 2 years in this 2021 bike, and it turns that the bike is at least until now is performing worse than last year's bike, which is not the best for the engineering side, or not the best for Gigi Dalligna, who is the, you know, the guru.
Yeah, I did see Gigi leaving the paddock on Sunday and he didn't look happy. But then again, Gigi's doesn't often look happy. But I mean, you have to think as well that this bike he's on, yes, it's a 2021 bike, but really it's just a modified 2020 bike because there wasn't a lot they could do with the rules. They just were able to figure it out a bit more. So, you know, I guess that must sting a little bit for Ducati in that it's an even older kind of base than... You know,
yes, but at the same time, the 2021 bike was a bit more refined and a bit more. I mean, we've seen it at the end of last year. It was super, super, super performing.
It was the best bike,
exactly. So, considering that, also Yamaha with this 2022 bike is in trouble. Honda is figuring out still the weaknesses of the newer C213. So Aprilia is coming up, but still, of course, they are not going to be there every race. And KTM with its ups and downs. So I think at the moment, is it, I wouldn't say normal, but I mean, this bike, this Mosedici GP21 is the most balanced and the most sharp bike at the moment. Maybe in 3-4 races, the GP22 will start to be better. But until now, it is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you have to consider as well, obviously, Bastianini throughout testing has just been able to do laps on it. He's not had to develop anything. You know, the factory guys are pretty convinced once you get to Europe things will be different, and they seem like they are just about figuring it out. It's just one or two missing details. I mean, Pecco was fifth, which he said was the maximum. He couldn't do more. You know, Jack faded at the end to third. You know, Martin and Zarco really dropped back. So it's, and that was after top five Ducati on the grid, you know, first time since 2003 a manufacturer had done that. So it seems like they're almost there. They're just missing something, and it's probably just a very small thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think once they have this base a bit more balanced, they will be able to improve much faster.
Yeah.
But at the moment, because they haven't yet find the main base, and the 2021, the thing is that with last year's Ducati, we're not going to see any evolution of the bike because it's at its, as you said, as you mentioned, is at its peak, while the 2022 bike is at the beginning. So at some point, they will cross boats, and probably the 2022 bike will be much faster. But will be too late? That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the question. And I mean, obviously, you have to wonder as well what the gain will be. You know, in MotoGP now, there are no huge, you know, lap time gains anymore. So is the 2022 going to be much better than the 2021 or just a little bit? And if it's only going to be a little bit, if, like you say, then it will become a thing of timing, you know, how long will it take them to find that little bit? Because, but right now, you know, you have to say that the most consistent one of the championship so far, Bastianini.
And don't forget, Dan, it won't be easy for the others to catch up and to leave Bastianini behind. I mean, maybe it will be more difficult for him to win races, but finishing in top five is a good way to manage the situation. And when he would be able to attack, he will attack. So
yeah, well, this is a guy at Misano last year at Cota, came through from third to, you know, sixth on a two-year-old Ducati. So his racecraft is going to be harder to beat more than anything, really. Another guy whose racecraft is obviously, you know, on his day, unbeatable, Marc Márquez. We thought coming into this race it was going to be between two guys, Marc and Enea. And on any other Sunday, it might well have been, but unfortunately, Marc had a problem. There was an alarm on the bike and he stopped on the grid, essentially. We went back to last and was forced into a sprint race. But what we saw from Marc really was, important because, of course, he's coming back from the second double vision injury after an awful crash. And he said all weekend he was scared and just doubting himself. And, you know, it was a result that proved that, you know, I think that Marc Márquez is still Marc Márquez, but also I think proved to himself that, you know, it was an important result, you know, for many reasons.
It was, in my opinion, it was a huge relief for him after all the doubts that he's been through this weekend. So, yeah, I mean, his race was like, I mean, another story. I mean, again, he was lapping faster than he was riding faster than the guys in front with a lot of traffic. I mean, so while he was overtaking a lot of people. So, and then he went 100% until he got exhausted.
Yeah.
And then he decided to pull back a bit. But we've seen Márquez 100%. So my only question mark is which kind of Mark we're going to see in 2 weeks' time in Portimao. That's the main question mark, because Austin is the best track for this kind of comeback. Let's see what happens in Portimao.
Yeah, he admitted himself that this bike right now just isn't ready to fight for the podium and the victory every single race in Europe. So he himself, you know, I think probably agree with what you've said there, Yuri. It was good to see Mark and Fabio having quite a good battle. You know, it was a bit like the old times, you know, 2019 when the two of them did that. But, you know, the fact that Fabio Quartararo is back in seventh, you know, when there was no problem with the bike is just slow in a straight line and there's nothing. It's embarrassing almost for Yamaha, really, that a rider like Fabio can do no more than what he's doing right now. And the best at that is seventh.
Yeah, but I mean, the championship is super long.
Yeah,
I mean, we've seen that, and there will be races where the Yamaha will be much closer or even the favorite.
Yeah,
bike.
For sure.
So that's the championship we have at the moment. Probably only the last years, Ducati is the one that will be always there. But I mean, we've seen also problems with Bastianini, and I think we're gonna have this kind of championship. Let's see what Suzuki is able to do, because at the moment Suzuki looks on paper the most consistent, the most solid bike of the grid.
Three races in a row that have been really genuinely, but well, I'd say all the races so far Suzuki have been, you know, doing the maximum. You know, in Qatar they had problems but were still there. You know, Indonesia the same in the wet race. Argentina was brilliant for them. And again, you know, you have to take your hat off to Alex Rins. You know, that was
amazing.
One of the best,
in my opinion, was his best race in MotoGP.
I would agree with that. You know, it was, you know, like we saw him in 2019, you know, battling Mark at Silverstone, it was that kind of level,
yeah, but
Alex, but even better.
Yes, of course. But this was just a genius thing, because we know how talented Alex is. But in terms of working, being there, not making any mistakes, taking risks and showing his talent, last race was, for me,
yeah,
his best race in MotoGP.
It was sublime. The moves he was making were calculated. They were on the limit, but they stayed on the limit. They weren't over the limit, and I think that's been Alex's big problem, particularly last year. And at no point this year have we seen him make mistakes. And I think this is the key thing: is that Alex Rins has been consistent and quick and not making mistakes. He, you know, cynics might say, "Oh well, you know, his ride's under threat for next year," but this is, we are
not riding like this.
No, absolutely not. You know, we are seeing the true Alex Rins.
I spoke with Livio Supo straight after the race. I went and congratulated him, and I told him, okay, now it's time for you to make the decision. That's why they brought you to Supi. And I said, don't get wrong, because, I mean, it's not easy, his position at the moment. I mean, the team signed him for making decisions, and now it's time to make a decision, because they have to do it soon. And at the moment, it won't be easy. because we've seen Alex Rins at his best level. So they have to renew both riders or choose one of them. And in my opinion, at the beginning of the season, the favorite, of course, was Joan Mir. At the moment,
But yeah, I mean, if you're Suzuki management, I mean, would you want to get rid of either rider? Because, you know, a team like Suzuki needs continuity in its lineup. And we know that both Joan and Alex are very, very competent lineup. I mean, if I was Livio Supo, I would be putting contracts in front of both of them.
Yeah, 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 me too. Me too, I agree. But that's why neither you or me are team managers.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, now I think now Suzuki wants to wait, but because don't forget that also Suzuki has a really good bike. So, and there have been rumors about Fabio. Okay, yes, but who says that Fabio will be faster than Alex Rins with his bike?
And who says Suzuki is going to offer him the same amount as Yamaha, Will?
No, that's for sure. But even signing a world champion, the current world champion,
it's no guarantee. Yeah,
there's no guarantee.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
yeah, no, I totally agree. It's the silly season coming up is very interesting. I mean, you know, it even extends back to Aprilia. Aleix Espargaró says he's disappointed with the first talks with Aprilia, but you know, where's he going to go? You know, it's kind of, there's a lot of interesting things at play. Speaking of Aprilia, just to mention them, because he went from first to 11th in the space of a week. He basically said that in qualifying, he asked the team to put his race tire into the tire warmer, because if you go through into Q2, you get an extra tire from Michelin, but he crashed, didn't get that extra tire. Took the tire, so the tire ended up being a preheated tire and he struggled with grip. So it was his own fault, really. But in case any listeners are wondering what happened to her last race winner. But yeah, I mean, looking ahead to Portimao, just to wrap up, Yuri, I mean, how do you see, have we been able to learn anything from these first four races? Because it's
difficult.
Very, very, very difficult, difficult. Yeah.
Very difficult. I think that I can't wait to come back to Europe and to the championship decision start in Europe, because then I think, I hope we'll have a more clear picture about the situation, because that's what I think. And also I think that that's what all the teams are waiting for, so they can have a more clear picture and they can, yeah, they know a bit more what to expect, because at the moment is, yeah, the craziest things, the craziest racist ever, race ever. So it's very difficult with all the Mandalika track thing and Argentina. We all know only 2 days Grand Prix, and also a very green track. And yeah, here in Austin, new surface. So I think that what we really need is the championship to come back to Europe and then to settle down.
Yeah, these features are getting harder and harder to write, because how do you analyze absolute chaos all the time?
That's what the next one is for you.
Yeah, I'm also looking forward to going back to Europe, because, you know, no jet lag, so that'll be good. Well, on that note, Yuri, thank you ever so much for your company, as always. It has been a very long weekend for us, so I appreciate you staying on so late to record the podcast. We'll be back before Portimao, maybe in Portimao to do the next podcast. But if you like what you heard, you can listen to all of our other podcasts on our podcast platforms, and obviously all of the stuff from the COTA weekend will be on Autosport and motorsport.com. sorry, I'll put my teeth in. So tired. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, as always, and please keep looking after yourselves.